I have prayerfully considered what to teach on this morning. Could certainly spend weeks talking about peace of God and why we should not have fear, and touch on the things, the current events. I preached on that last week for those that weren't here. You can request the CD in the foyer. It is also available on the internet. But I believe, this is a personal conviction, I did not hear a yes or no specifically to this, but I felt a peace about the message. The Lord wanted me to go about business as usual. And so I'm going to continue on in the fruit of the Spirit. We come to the second fruit. We put joy on hold to touch on peace last week, and I want to talk very briefly this morning about joy. Galatians chapter 5, for those that have your Bibles. Galatians chapter 5. This is a quote from Max Lucado. He's well enough known, I think, that he doesn't need an introduction. He says, "Everyone is looking for joy. Marketing companies know this. Every commercial promises the same product. Joy. Want some joy? Buy our hand cream. Want some joy? Sleep on this mattress. Want some joy? Eat at this restaurant. Drive this car. Wear this dress. Every commercial portrays the image of a joy-filled person. Even Preparation H. Before using the product, the guy frowns and squirms in his chair. Afterwards, he is the image of joy." I figured you would receive it better if it came from an author, so there you have it. That wasn't my words. What is joy and where does it come from? Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." Church, are you walking by the Spirit daily? Put on the Spirit. Ask to be filled with the Spirit, as the Apostle Paul says in the book of Ephesians. Be filled daily, continually. Fill yourself with the Spirit. May everything that you say, may everything that you do be in step, in accordance with the Holy Spirit. Not with your mind, not with your ideas, not with man's ideas. Walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. What's the desire of the flesh? Well, the enemy has come to steal, kill, destroy. That sounds like the world's, what's the world's facing today, doesn't it? Stole your retirement, stole their joy, stole their peace, literally killing. He's destroying lives and families. Walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. 17, I think I already preached on 16, didn't I? Get carried away, that's a good verse.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
That might have been flesh. 17, I'm kidding. "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. They're in opposition to one another. They do not live and dwell in the same house. So that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. There's freedom," verse 1 of chapter 5. "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident." Skip down to verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." That's agape. Joy, this is the Greek word, chara. Chara. "Peace," erene, patience, "kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." This joy is from God. I want you to understand that theologically and emotionally, it comes from God. It is a work of the Holy Spirit, Romans 14, verse 17. It is a result of abiding with God by walking in the Spirit. So therefore, joy is not something that you can work up. It's not something that you can just, it's coming. I think I pulled a muscle in my neck. See, don't work up joy. It'll hurt you. On the other hand, because it comes from God, guess what? It cannot be stolen. Now, you may not feel like that sometimes, but I want you to know that divine joy, Holy Spirit joy, the fruit of joy, chara, will remain even when circumstances seem terrible. Why? How? Because it has a foundation in God the Father, and in God there is no variation or shifting shadow. God doesn't say, you know, God didn't say, oh no, I didn't see this virus coming. Now what do I do? No. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. Therefore, our joy must remain in the same way that God remains true. It comes from him. One definition I came across liked simply described joy as soul satisfaction. It's not a happiness based in materialistic things. It's your soul is satisfied in God. You have all that you need. Your attention is turned to him so you can praise and rejoice. That's the spirit fruit of chara. See, happiness is materialistic. It can be affected. If you gave me a Triumph Daytona 675, it'd be in blue, would be my favorite, electric blue. That's a motorcycle, by the way. And if I just came outside and you handed me the keys and said, I want you to have this, that would make me so happy. So, so happy. I mean, more happy than the apple pies that you guys have baked for me. But it also could be taken away from me and stolen and make me unhappy. But joy is different. It's looking at God and realizing your lot in life is more than just things. It's more than circumstances and situations. Dr. Cheryl McDonald, she writes in a secular journal. I do not know her state and walk with God, but I know that this was in a secular publication. She writes this. When someone experiences joyfulness, physiologically and biochemical alterations occur that encourage a sense of well-being, completely altering the negative views of life. She's saying that something happens chemically and physically in your body as you experience joyfulness. Continuing, joy is an attitude or a belief which soothes even in the most sorrowful of situations. Joy comes from within, I would say from the Holy Spirit. It is an internal view. Joy in the biblical context is not an emotion. It is not based on something positive happening in life, but is an attitude of the heart or spirit. There is evidence that suggests having a religious belief helps people cope with the stresses and strains of life. Therefore, to answer the question, is there a relationship between happiness and joy? In the biblical sense, no. Again, I don't know where she is, but I want you to see that even doctors, and from a medical standpoint, they're arguing, the argument she's making is that she agrees with the Bible in this, that joy and happiness are two separate things, mutually exclusive. So one is an emotion affected by the change in environment or standing, whether materialistic, monetary, or physically. The other is not fleeting. It is, in a sense, a permanent state of spiritual contentment and delight. A permanent state of contentment and delight, spiritually speaking. So I suppose it's possible to be unhappy and filled with joy at the same time. And on one hand, although I'm not really sure what that looks like, sometimes I feel like that is me. So whatever I look like might be that. Unhappy and full of joy. Joy, a permanent attitude and state. So sadness is not a good antonym. I was trying to think of what a good antonym for joy is. The only word I came up with is grumpiness. A permanent state of soul dissatisfaction. Doesn't that sound about right? How many of you know, we're just going to go with grumpiness because I don't have a better word. How many of you know that grumpiness is contagious? Contagious. Grumpiness is contagious. You ever been around someone that all they did was just frown and complain and put people down? Wait a second, Eric, that sounds a lot like you. Quiet, Erica. I told you not to put me in a bad light while I was preaching. Grumpy. Complaining. Could change an entire room. You ever walked in from a perfectly fine day at work? Your spouse says something to set you off? Your children did something that wasn't right? Guess what? If you're not in the joy of the Lord, it's very easy in your flesh to give into that and to lip off back at them, isn't it? We've all met somebody grumpy. Probably you have by now somebody in your mind. But I want you to know something. Joy is also contagious. And here's what you are to do next time you come into contact with a grump. I want you to outjoy their grumpiness. Declare your soul satisfaction to them while they complain. I can't believe there's no toilet paper. Pastor, has he really mentioned that 4 times in 2 weeks? Yes, yes. Guess what you can respond? Don't you know that the joy of the Lord is your strength? So what? I'm not even getting paid this week. Yeah, but on the bright side, you have a Father that promised to provide all that you need. But people can't even go to churches and my stock portfolio just disappeared. Perhaps, but you do know that James tells us to consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials because the testing of your faith produces endurance? Don't let others complain you into despair. Don't let them grumble you into sorrow. Don't let them rob you of, or try to rob you and steal your joy. Remind them of all that they have to be joyful for. Outjoy others' grumpiness. Do you know that salvation plays majorly into your joy? Luke 15 says, "What woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Do you need a reason to be happy in life when you're having a bad day? Remember that your names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember that you were that lost silver coin, but the owner of it found it, invited you in to the celebration. Jesus sent out the 70 disciples. Do you remember? They said, "Jesus, even the demons are subject to us in your name." You remember the count? Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning." He was speaking of the spiritual thing of the stronghold of the enemy being cast down. He said, "But do not rejoice in this." What? "Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life." Don't rejoice that Satan is subject to you. Rejoice in your salvation. If you've got nothing else to focus on, rejoice that you get to go to, that you've got an eternal destination. If you've got nothing good going on in your life, we can rejoice that we will only be here for a blink of an eye. Remember, I said your joy cannot be stolen. It should remain because it comes from God. Well, I say this because our joy is so interconnected with salvation that it should be as stable as our salvation. The stability of our joy depends on the stability of God. And God has said that no one can snatch you. His work is done. Now, you can make bad decisions. You could turn away. But he's saying, my end of the deal has been done. 2,000 years ago, I purchased your salvation. That's how secure our joy should be, in my opinion. Not up 1 minute and down the next, but steady. So if you think, first of all, that you have nothing to be joyful for, start with the fact that you are known by God. And not only should your salvation cause you to be overflowing with joy, I want you to know, secondly, that salvation is actually given to you because of joy. Joy is a result of salvation. We are saved, so we rejoice, but in fact, your salvation comes from joy. It's going to come full circle. Joy, salvation, then joy. Joy of the Master, to be specific. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on who? Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the what? Joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and guess what? He sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Done, completed. Sat down, I'm finished. Tetelestai. For the joy of our Master, he went to the cross and saw it through. Do you remember in the garden? Please, God, remove this cup from me. But not my will, yours be done. Jesus was distraught as a man. Lord, is there any other way? But you know why he saved you and went through with it? For the joy set before him. That same joy of the woman searching for the lost coin. There he was on the cross, thinking about you. Curtis, this is for you. Lee Penn, this is for you. Linda, this is for you. Alan, this is for you. So not only do we rejoice because of our salvation, your salvation comes about because of the joy of Jesus Christ in fellowship with you, in drinking and eating in his heavenly kingdom. It wasn't for patience that he endured the cross. It wasn't even for love that he endured the cross, although it was a part of it. The scripture says, joy that was set before him he endured. Not perseverance. Jesus died for you. Get it in your spirit because of joy. And it's by that example that we should run our race well. In other words, to the extent that you accomplish God's will, joy must be one of the primary catalysts. If you want to accomplish God's will for your life, you must be filled with joy as a primary means to doing that. Joy motivated Jesus to die for you, and in the same way, it ought to motivate you to run the remainder of your race well. Now, I said earlier that joy is sourced in the Lord. It actually comes from the Holy Spirit, but I want you to really get that in your spirit, man. Joy comes from abiding in him. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I want you to see this for yourselves. The great familiar passage of abiding in the vine. But I want to go after one single word. I talked about joy and preached on the fruit of the Spirit about 5.5 years ago. If you still got your notes, you will probably find that I went to this passage as well, but I just cannot get away from it. I want to read this, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, that's Jesus, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Thank you, Lord. Abide in me. And I and you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. You want to produce the fruit of God? You've got to abide in the vine. He who, where am I? 5.5, right? I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh, I see what you're saying. It's 4.5. As a branch cannot bear fruit, I'm in 4. Of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Guess what? You're outside of Christ, you're firewood. That's what Jesus said. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. That sounds like provision to me, doesn't it? But there's a catch. You got to abide in the vine. Once you start abiding in the vine, once Jesus abides in you, your life manifests him, you only ask for things that are spiritually discerned and things that are in line with his will, which is provision, but it's also spiritual things and not selfish things, not materialistic things. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. 11. These things I have spoken to you so that my... his joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full to overflowing, evident in your life, and everybody else will be able to recognize that you abide in the vine. Jesus said, I'm encouraging you to abide in me that your joy may be made full. You want to know how to get joy? Spend some time in the vine. Perhaps you've struggled with depression in your life. Perhaps you've been down and sorrowful at times, or you've never really felt a peace and excitement and joy. I'm not saying you haven't abided in the vine. Sometimes it comes more easily to some than to others. But what I will encourage you is that despite your situation, despite your emotional state, I want you to know that the solution is to abide in the vine. Spend time with Jesus, and when you get your eyes off of the circumstances, just like I started by saying this morning in worship, what happens? The joy of the Lord becomes your strength. As you spend time in the vine, you get filled with his joy, and that joy is your strength to carry on in this life, to run the race well, to finish well. I was looking through the uses of the word joy in the New Testament the same way I did with agape and with peace. Although I did not do the math on it, I figure well over 50% of the verses in the New Testament that deal with the word joy are related and directly speaking of salvation. What I'm saying is that joy is very closely connected to the assurance of salvation. So if you have little or no joy, I want you to consider, when was the last time that you reflected about this precious gift of eternal life that God has given to you? Joy is rooted in our recognition of not just where we are headed pre-Christ, but where we are headed after. And so boldly I say to you, to the degree in which you lack joy, I want you to consider whether or not you take your spiritual salvation for granted. So how do you protect against the neglect of joy? Abide in the vine. John 15. You see, as you spend time with Christ, not only will you begin to realize his love for you, not only will you be empowered for his work, not only will he reveal his will, not only will he provide all that you need, not only will all your worries and fears disappear, you will begin to produce his fruit, verse 4, and simultaneously be filled with his joy, verse 11. All of that comes from abiding simply in the vine. Isaiah 55, 12 says this, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst out into song before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. As we leave the house of the Lord, I want us to go out in joy. I want us to be led by peace. By holding on to joy, peace will guide you in your ways. They're interwoven and connected. As you fill yourself with the truth of God's word, in the joy of the Lord and reminder of the salvation that you have in Christ Jesus begins to speak to your spirit, man, the fears of the world disappear. You begin to be flooded with the peace of God as you turn your attention toward Him.